Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper, Outdoors Column, that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Thank you, Dave, and folks, thank you for tuning in. We're going to have a good show today. I've got some interesting guests lined up. One of them is Mr. Larry Wysoon. Larry's been with me every week for about, I think, going on 12 years now. Campfire Talk. Campfire Talk is brought to us each week by Sea Arc Boats, awesome line of aluminum boats, and Sarton Marine right there at Lake Fork, where you can buy you a new Sea Arc boat. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Crockett's Family Resort down on Houston County Lake, not far from Crockett, Texas. Awesome fishing lake and awesome place to stay there at Crockett's Family Resort. Signature Properties right there at Lake Fork. You can check them out at easttexasluxury.com. And Bill and Chris Carey's Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. And Larry, also brought to us by
Hornady, Deadly, Accurate, and Dependable, and the Dallas Safari Club, DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy. And Luke, I'll tell you what, we're coming off of an interesting month in February in a lot of different ways. Of course, DSC had an absolutely fantastic virtual event and did really, really well. And at the same time, all that hit, we were hit by this Siberian front that really did a number on a lot of different things across the state.
Larry, that's what I want you to talk about. I know you're very well tuned in on the impact, especially on exotics. But you know, back to the online, the Dallas Safari Club convention online. There, a lot of people were indoors, so I can certainly understand. I would think if they had computer access, internet, there probably was just a lot of people. Following that, you know, when it was going on, the online convention, you know.
You're right. And interestingly, over the years, I can remember so many different DSA conventions, where what didn't seem to make a bit of difference, it was always held the second Saturday that weekend kind of thing in January, or the first weekend in January when you get right down to it, I guess. But there's always been weather involved, and then, of course, they moved it to the middle of February, and guess what? This cold front came in, and you're right. But interestingly, in a bad way, is the effect that this cold weather has had on wildlife. With that said, most of our native species, such as white-tailed deer, mule deer, pronghorn, javelina, and those kind of things, and our bird populations, in spite of all the ice and snow, seem like they came out of it pretty good. I'm sure we lost some animals in certain little isolated areas of the native species, but I'll tell you what, the exotic species, especially those that were originally came from parts of India where there is not a whole lot of cold weather that they evolved with, like the axis deer and black buck, oh my gosh, they really took it on the chin. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of axis deer and black buck antelope that just could not deal with the cold, and basically the same thing with some of the mule guy farther south. I spoke with Greg Simons, who does a lot of mule guy hunts down in what we, here in Texas, we call it King Ranch Country, the Lower Valley, and they really had a severe die-off there of the mule guy as well.
That's amazing. You would think a big old hardy animal such as a mule guy could survive it, but there again, they're not native to this area, or not native to an area that would get that cold, are they?
They're not. If you look at those animals that I described, particularly the mule guy and the axis deer and the black buck as well, too, they've got a real thin hair coat, and it's a very short hair coat. So they do not do well with the weather, and particularly when it's cold and wet like this has been, that particular front that we had come through, anytime you get about 3 days where it drops below freezing, it really does a number on those animals. And unfortunately, in some of these areas of the hill country, it was a week of below freezing temperatures and ice and snow, and there wasn't a whole lot of food that they could get to because ice and snow covered it up, and so it was really bad. I talked with a friend of mine in Junction, Brian Booth. Brian and I worked for the game department together years ago, and we're classmates at A&M and all that kind of thing. And during the worst of it, he kept sending me photographs of various ranches that were trying to salvage what they could of the meat and hides in the case of black buck and blacks, they're both, that they had trailer loads, literally, of animals that died because of the cold.
You know, a good friend of mine and yours, Mark Billette, down not too far from your part of the world, down around.
Absolutely. Yeah, just a little bit northeast, not very far at all.
You're right, and in Trinity County down there, I talked to Mark, and you know, I've known for a long time that the black bucks, Mark has told me and other guys that have exotics, something about the horns freezing up in the head part that's really the first thing that they notice that knocks those out. But he took a huge loss, and he's got, you know, lots of axes on there. I did not ask him about the axes, but I'm sure there was snow on the ground down in Trinity County for days. So that's not good. But the whitetail, the turkey, the mule deer, you know, the native species, it's good to know that they're fared pretty well. You know, that's it would have been terrible to lose lose a lot of them. But the fact is, I guess they are native. You know, they're native to areas that get cold. You know.
They are, and the thing about it is, again, like with whitetail and mule deer, even though they don't have a huge, thick hair coat, they do have longer hair, and same thing with antelope, and it kind of traps that heat. And as long as they can get something to eat, now, like I said, I'm sure there are probably some isolated areas where we lost some deer and native deer, but as a whole, from everything, the indication that I can get and visit with people, I think we came out of it in pretty good shape, and I suspect in some of these areas where we had the quail, if they did not have a good feed source or seed source, some of those we might have lost it, because with that ice in some of these areas, we had, you know, considerable ground ice and trees as well too, and it's very possible that we may have lost some of those as well. But I think for the most part, turkeys generally have a tendency to make it because they scratch through the snow to find stuff underneath, and I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I know years ago when I spent so much time in Iowa hunting in the late muzzleloader season in December and early January, one of the things I always looked for when I hunted white-tailed deer was for turkey scratching, is because those turkeys would scratch open the ground and then the deer would follow through, and what the turkeys didn't eat, you know, the deer had access to. So that may have been a good thing this year in some of our places here in Texas too, where we have a pretty good wild turkey population. They probably kind of helped each other out a little bit.
Work together to survive all this cold. Well,
absolutely.
You know, you bet. Well, you know, we've only have now about a month, and it's going to be spring turkey season again. I cannot wait. I've got a couple of turkey hunts set up, and always once I get going into it, I usually wind up maybe a few more places. But yeah, I'm excited about that. That's our first real hunting. Other than hogs, and you know how much I enjoy hunting hogs.
yes, sir.
Yeah, and you too, Larry. But, sure. Right now, until then, there's not a better time, in my opinion, than right now to hunt hogs, because I've learned from you and other biologists that a stress month is March. For March and August, I've learned, is really stress periods for wildlife. The hard mass crops, acorns, pecans, nuts, if you will, they're gone pretty much. They've been soured, the acorns, what little acorns we had this year in many areas. But basically, hogs, if you have some golden kernels of corn, you probably have hogs, and it's a great time. I'm thinking about, actually, I contacted Butcher Packer Supply, and I ordered two of those little kits for making ham. So I'm gonna this coming week, actually a couple of days, I'm gonna go down and join Jeff down there, try to get another hog or three, and then I want to load those, pump those things with cure and put them in a brine and make a bunch of ham for our upcoming hunts, you know?
Well, you're right. Once this front has passed through, we're going to be done spending time, I'm sure, trying to catch a fish or two. I need to get it. I had a freezer go out last year and lost a lot of my fish that had frozen, unfortunately. So I've got to try to replenish my freezer with fish and hog meat as well, too. And we've got some great opportunities coming up here in the next few days, actually.
You bet, Larry. Well, I tell you what, buddy. We've made it through the freeze, the blizzard of 2021. So it's got to, things that have to look up from here on. I guess we need to just think positive, think fish, think turkeys, think wild hogs, and just continue having fun, Larry, you know?
You're exactly right. The spring is almost here, and as you mentioned, spring turkey. Like I told you, I hadn't hunted spring turkey in about 15, 17 years, but listening to you and talking as we're doing, you know, around the campfire, you got me fired up about hunting turkeys this year.
Well, hopefully we'll get to spend a day or three together hunting them, chasing some turkeys. And, Larry, I know you're going to be right back here with us this time next week. We'll have some more fun and campfire talk. What do you say?
I can hardly wait.
Folks, if you hunt deer in Texas, you use some kind of a game feeder. For many years, I'm talking about 15 or maybe 18 years, I've used the Ultramatic feeders made by my buddy Carl Harmon. Check them out online, ultramaticfeeders.com.